Just for the odom to come out on the night, like tonight, it's slippery outside. Mary Primazani used to say that if a Jew is tied up, if he's tied over there, then he doesn't slip down here. And the tire is what melts the ice and keeps us warm. Especially the Torah of Masei Shabbos. The Torah we're in the middle of is the Sugi of Menuchas. Menuchas Nefesh. And we've been learning the past few weeks that the Ikka Chisarim, the Ikka cause of an individual's difficulty to achieve a feeling, a state of Menuchas Nefesh, is Va'ani Bagoyla, Golus. Golus, we were talking last Masei Shabbos about how the Mashgiach Rav Albi Zech Tzadavach described the Talmud Chacham. The trademark of a Talmud Chacham is a person who has a Pina Chavuya, who has a hidden corner of the Ani HaPrati, of the I himself. And when a person is missing that, we were learning last week that when that is missing, when a person is in that third most difficult state of galus, not the galus among Goyim, the galus even God forbid among Jews, but the galus of oneself, then his entire life could be built upon a yisayid, a foundation, which we learned last week of what they called a forgery. The forgery becomes more and more elaborate as the person seeks to identify himself by the approval or the validation of other people. I am worth something if other people think that I'm worth something. I am choshev, not in terms of my own internal chashivas, but in terms of how people are machshev me, what they think of me. A life that's led in that type of galus is a forgery. It's a counterfeit life. It's a tragedy. And therefore we spoke about bittul chametz. You remember? Just a little bit. Chazar. See, most of the Arlam, almost everybody I can remember was here last Masei Shabbos. Bittul chametz is that searching for the chametz and being mevatel the chametz is that tremendous expression that we, that cry to try to remove all that's become chametzik in our lives, even the good things, but the good things that have entrapped us, the good things that have caused us to become paralyzed in an old way of thinking, an old way of feeling, an old way of doing things. The chametzik of life, feelings, ideas of the past that might have been good once, but they became chametzik over the years. They became chametzik over the years. And because of all of the chametz that's gathered, it's accumulated, I can't find the ani, the I. I can't find the Yerushalayim. We were talking about Achapes Yerushalayim Benez. Hashem is searching for the Yerushalayim inside each and every Jew. That's what the Gemara learns out, the Yin of searching for the chametz with a candle. And we ended last week with Kan HaBen Shoel, with the child asking the four questions. As it says in all of our Haggadahs, here the child, it's our custom for the child to ask the four questions. Whatever child is there, she was zaycheh to have healthy, good children. Kan HaBen Shoel, the child asks. That's where we ended last Matzei Shabbos. And we understand that based upon what we're learning, what that means, let's continue Kan HaBen Shoel. It means that she'ifa, that longing, to be able to return to that child that's inside of me. We spoke about the afikaimen, means that hidden part of myself, or that part that's become buried under piles and piles of chametz. And the afikomen, as everybody knows, is the larger piece, is the larger half of the matzah, is the afikaimen. Because the etzem of who I am has been put away someplace a long time ago, has been hidden someplace. The question of Kanha ben Shaul, that here the child asks, the Gemara tells us in a Braisa in Psachim. The Braisa is on Kuftas Zayin. The Gemara says there, Tana Rabbanan, Chacham Binai, if a person is zeichet to have a wise son, Chacham Binai, the child is smart, Shoyalai. Then the child, that wise son, the Chacham, will ask the question. If he is not intelligent to ask, or there is no child, Istoy She'alta, then the wife could ask. Vimlav, and if there's no child and there's no wife, God forbid, Hushal Atzmai, then the person asks himself, Manishtan. He asks himself, Manishtan Alalazim. That's the Braisa in Psachim. According to the Ari HaKadosh, one always asks himself. Which means, according to the Arizal, which is Pnimius HaTorah, even if, with God's help, you have a house filled with children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, Baruch Hashem, after everybody has asked, and all the kids have had their chance, then the person asks himself, Ma Nishtana HaLaila Hazeh? According to the Arizal, you ask yourself, so you yourself ask the question, Ma Nishtana? The Arizal said, you always have to ask yourself. Now the minute you know, the custom is that when there is a child, we begin with the youngest. And the youngest child asks, Manishtana. What is the meaning of the youngest child? Why is that the custom for the youngest child? So we think it's a matter of their hearts, because the little ones are the most anxious, excited, and so on. Of course, like every other one of our customs, is much deeper than that. The youngest child represents the part of myself that is most naive, that is most pure, most innocent. It's that part of myself. Remember, we're talking about asking oneself the Manishtana. And we all ask, after the children have asked, we ask. But what's the meaning of the youngest one asking? The meaning of that is that there's a part of myself that's called the youngest one. Listen carefully. There's a part of myself that's called the child, the youngest child. And that means the primal essence of who I am. That part that's still inside you and I, that's completely, completely unspoiled, that's completely unclever, that part that hasn't been touched by chametz, from ideas, pieces of information outside of himself. All of us, and there are very, very pure and holy people here, but all of us are already very chametzdik. To one degree or another, we're chametzdik. We say things that are not our own ideas. We do that all the time. We express emotions that are not our own emotions. We make gestures. We do certain things that are not our own. That part of myself that is completely free of chametz, that part of myself that has retained the absolute unblemished innocence and pureness of who I really am. Not the ziyuf, not the forger, not the counterfeit me, but the real, essential I. That is called the youngest child. That's the youngest child. Ever since we lost touch with that younger child inside of ourselves, we've had issues. Issues is a very general term. But we've all had issues. Ever since that little child has stopped asking questions, we've gotten involved in all kinds of issues. Because the youngest child inside of the person is the lechem ayni that we've been learning about. Remember the poor man's bread that Maharal was explaining to us, we've been talking the past few weeks. The lechem ayni means it's a natural zrima, a natural flowing current of the self. Children little children say exactly what they're thinking and feeling. That could sometimes get their parents in trouble, especially when they recount some of the things that they've seen in the house.
There are zero.
And that could cause a great deal of embarrassment in the family. The children, especially the young children, it's a zrima, it's a flowing, powerful current of unspoiled, non-chametz, all natural ingredients. When the kid says, "I want this," he means he wants it. Not like when you and I say, "I really want to become a tzaddik." And you don't have to even take that into the laboratory, you know. You want to be a tzaddik. Okay, so why don't we begin with this? Well, I have issues. So when we say the word "I," when we use the word "I," it's been so tampered with. But when a child says, "I want this," he means 100%. And when that little child, that little boy and girl inside says, "I'm happy, I like this," it means he's not like he was told that when you go for your interview, you better say something, because if you say the wrong thing on your interview, you might not get the big job that you've been trying to get for the last 20 years. So you better make sure the interview goes well. The kid, you could prompt the kid all you like. The kid's going to say exactly what he's thinking or feeling. And we all have many, many stories, Baruch Hashem, of little children we've seen in these situations. There used to be, forgive me for bringing a raya from something that comes from impurity, but when we were children, there was a very delightful television show. There was some of the older chevri here might remember Art Linkletter. So he had a show that he was, at the end of the show, he would interview little kids. And from what I think, they were little kids. They weren't prepared. He would ask them different questions, and kids said like such adorable things. And the kids didn't like what was cute about it. Like all the adults are laughing. What was cute about it was that they were saying exactly what they thought. You ask them questions, so Art Linkletter would say some question about the house. He would say, I don't know, because my father's not talking to my mother for the last 2 weeks or something. You know, the kids would just say straight. It's a Chazal tell us a very, very deep thing. It's found in a number of places. It's the Gemara Chagiga, it's in Yerushalmi and Shabbos, it's the end of Megillah. Those who are winning Daf Yomi are familiar with these things. But it's all over Chazal. There are many stories in Chazal where there was a great Chacham, a great sage, a Tana or an Amora, a great sage from Chazal, that had to resolve a certain issue, a burning issue within Klal Yisrael, where the whole destiny of the Jewish people depended upon resolving this problem, this dilemma, this issue. And you remember different places in Chazal, how the Chacham would search through all of the vast knowledge, through all that he knew, and he wasn't able to come to a conclusion. What would he do? He would meet the child. We have a few places in Chazal. He would meet the child. We have the story of Purim, that's the Gemara Megillah. He would meet the child, a Yanuka, a little kid, and say that was coming back on his way from Cheder, from school, and they say, "Psychic Tzukecha, what did you learn today in Cheder? You learned something? You heard something today?" And the child would say something, as children say, spontaneously, "Yeah." And the Chacham, the Gadol Hador, would decide what step to take that was going to affect the entire history of Klal Yisrael. Because of a little child running back from Cheder, and the Tana would ask the Amayr, would say, "Yingele psychic sukecha, what did you learn in Cheder?" So, what does that mean? It means many, many things, and I've spoken about that in the past, but in your name, what we're talking about now. It means that in each and every one of us, there's a part that's called the Chacham. There's a part of us, even though you might not be like, you might not have scored the highest grades on IQ or the law boards or something, but there's a certain part of us, each and every one of us, that's called the Chacham, the clever, educated, intelligent one. And the clever, intelligent, educated one has picked up thousands of ideas and thoughts and feelings over the course of the journey of life. That's the Chacham. And then there's that child that we were just talking about. On a deeper level, the Gadol Hador asking the little child means that inside each and every one of us there's that sophisticated, adult, educated, counterfeit person. The Chacham who is searching for the child inside of him and asks the child. The Chacham asks the child. The Chacham turns to the... Come sit down. The Chacham, that part of myself that is sophisticated. This way. That's what I meant. A big plate. Oh. Shkai, thank you, I'm sorry. The Chacham inside of myself, the sophisticated, intelligent, educated person, is trying to speak to the little, innocent, pure, non-chamistic child inside. And he's trying to find out from that little child, if he could find him, he's trying to ask the child, tell me something, Mila, myself. What do I really feel right now? It's very hard to put this into words, and I know that you're trying to hear it in a way that I'm not capable of expressing. The Chacham in myself and is trying to find the child inside myself. And the Chacham, who doesn't even know who he is anymore, because the Chacham has been so caught up in the ziyuf, in the forgery, with all the stuff that he's picked up over life, that when somebody asks me or you, what do you think? We don't even know how to answer that. Because when somebody asks me, what do I think? I might just be saying something that I thought 20 years ago. Or I might be saying something that my father told me I should think. Or my Rebbe told me that I should think. Or that somebody on the television told me, or somebody on a billboard told me I should think. And you can catch yourself saying things if you're a pnimi. If you're a pnimi zdig person and you stop and you just go over the words that you said in the past 15 minutes, in the past half hour, an hour. And how many of those words can be truly, truly attributed to I? All the things that you said, I. So the Chacham inside of us, the adult inside with all of the forgeries and counterfeits, a life of picking up stuff from the outside, is trying to find out, because now he's desperate, he doesn't know, what am I going to do with my life? Right? I'm talking about these Gemaras where you find that the Tana or the Amari is asking a kid. So inside each and every one of us, there's this great, wise person who's come to a point in his life where he has to make a big decision. He realizes this is it. And he wants to be able to get to the deepest part of himself, which is that child, and to ask the child, this moment, what do I really want? This moment, what is the truth? Because the adult, the Chacham, knows that the child does not live with all kinds of cheshbonos of what once was. If you ask the kid, do you want to play, do you want to have a catch? A little kid, you want to have a catch? The kid doesn't sit down thinking, no, what does he mean? Because last week we didn't have a catch. Next week, I can't truly be sure that we will have a catch. So when he's asking me, do I want to have a catch right now? Maybe it doesn't mean that. Maybe it means something else. When you say to the kid, you want to have a catch, he lives in the truth of that moment, of his existence, of that natural flowing current of who he is. And the kid says, I'm ready. Kid runs and he grabs his glove and he's out. He's ready to go. He doesn't have a cheshbon. And then if you say to the kid, let's say you say to the kid, you know, you better be careful because if you use your energy up now, you might not be able to stay up late tonight. You ever say that to a kid? Be careful. Be careful because if you're going to get tired, then you're going to be tired. Well, you try to tell him Erev Pesach to have a nap, right? Because you're telling the kid Erev Pesach to have a nap. Why? So you should be able to ask the four kashas and stay up at night. It's a good point. And the Gemara tells us we should be careful with this, right? The children should rest. What does it mean to a child when you say to the kid, like in the middle of a Tuesday, you better take a rest now, because tonight is going to be up. You're going to be up late. They'll go to bed if you tell them enough. They'll lie down. But the thing, the whole sentence to them is so silly, because they don't have a cheshbon. If I don't rest now, I'm going to have a problem tonight, because they don't have plans. They don't have a cheshbon. I have people that are telling me that they're going away, they're going away someplace on a business trip in 3 days, so that's why they're sleeping late. They're not going to Minyan now. It's just like gathering energy for this business trip or something. So he's taking it easy for the next 3 days. So you know, it should be easy for him like a week later or something. Thinks he's a camel when it comes to time. You're able to carry it, to gather it together and be able to store some time, so you'll be able to have it easier later. You tell me that I have to be up tonight. When it's tonight, I'll worry about it. You talk to the kid about it, but don't you remember last year you fell asleep at the Seder? You remember last year you fell asleep at the Seder? When you say that to a child, even though we say that all the time, it means nothing. So the kid says, I remember. The kid remembers better than us. They have very good memories. It doesn't make an argument to him. What last year was last year. Tonight? It's not tonight now. Right now I'm having a good time. You tell me I should go lie in bed in the middle of a Tuesday, or middle of ice, lie in bed in the middle of a Monday? Because children don't have a cheshbon. A child lives in the truth of his existence at that moment. The Baruch Shalom wants there to be a relationship between the adult, between the chacham inside of us, and the little child inside of us. And that is the deeper meaning, or we could say, perhaps, I'm just suggesting, that is the deeper meaning in terms of what we're learning this sugya. That's the deeper meaning of what the Braisa says in Pesachim, Shoyel La'atzma, you ask yourself. Because it's a funny thing to ask yourself, Ma'an Nishtam. There's nobody in the room. Ma'an Nishtam Ahalayla is there. You have to ask any kashas. Why is it necessary to ask any questions? If you're speaking to yourself. So when the Chacham inside of us is trying to speak to the child inside of us, there are questions that we ask. I'm going to give you some examples, and then we'll go to the questions in the Haggadah. There are questions like, who am I? An example, this happens all the time. I have a chasna kala. They're supposed to get married. This happened just 2 weeks ago. They're supposed to get married in a little while. And the chasna came to speak to me, and he said that he doesn't know what he's doing. I said, yeah, you're getting married. Yeah, the invitations are out. He said to me, I don't have a shaykhus ki hu zeh with the kala. Nothing with the kala. I don't know her. I have nothing in common with her. What should I do? This hasn't happened once. And not a dozen times. Many, many more times than a dozen times. So, sometimes it's a nervousness, anxiety, different things like that. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes, as the chuppah gets closer, he starts to ask himself. The chacham, like the cool guy that was cruising down, Central Avenue with a pretty girl, his kala. So at some point, the chacham asks the child, that's the cool guy, the chacham who picked up over his life that this is the kind of girl that it would be nice to marry, right? The chacham asks the little boy inside, who are you and who is she? Who are you? Do you have any kesher to her? B'chlal, is she somebody that's for you? Dance. But not how it looks when you, like how it looks when you walk into the restaurant and people look and say, yeah, it's a handsome couple. But Ben's. The child asks questions like that. Basic questions, who am I? Why am I here in the world? Parents sometimes have these questions from children. Why am I here? What do I want with my life? What do I want to do? Who am I? What do I want to do? what can make me happy right now? As the child starts to grow a little bit, he goes through a tremendous crisis, and he begins to realize that there's a conflict between what he wants and what his parents want. So he struggles with this question. How am I supposed to make myself happy? Listen to this question, it's going to come back in a few minutes. How am I supposed to make myself happy and at the same time not cause people that I love and that I need to get upset with me? I want something and they want something. Then the stakes get higher. I want to do something, and then there's this invisible great force that's called God, Hashem is Baruch, and people are telling me that he doesn't like when I do these things. So I got my mom telling me that I can't go out until I clean the room. I got Hashem telling me that I have all these kind of things to do, like all these different mitzvahs to do, and if I don't do them, I'm terrible. If I do these averos, I'm terrible. How do all of these outside voices, shtim, you know what I mean, shtim? It's a Latin word, shtim. How do all of these outside voices, how do they work together? How do they correspond? How do they fit with it, with me? These are things that children struggle with. They learn not to articulate them at some point because they get in trouble. And someone says, you want to get a pouch? So the child learns not to ask these questions, but inside of himself he's wondering, how could I remain a happy-go-lucky kid that has a blast and does what I want and says the things that I want when there are people who are telling me other things? And there's a God who tells me other things. Someone was just telling me last week, he was telling me when he was in yeshiva, that he raised his hand, there was something with the Rebbe wasn't going well in the class, the boys were saying stuff, there was a little chutzpah there, and he started to say something, he said, no, forget it. And the Rebbe said, no, what do you want to say, don't be afraid. And he told me, he said, no, Rebbe, it's okay, it'd be better. And the Rebbe said, I want you to say it, and you don't have to be afraid. And he said that he said it, and he got a smack across the face. The Rebbe told him, just don't worry, say it. But he thought it wouldn't be that big, you know. So the kid said, all right, here goes, Rebbe. And he said, like, straight, like, what he felt. And he said, what's up? You whack across that. You know, that you learn, the kids are not dumb. They learn to be quiet. They learn to be quiet. They learn to become great counterfeiters. They learn to forge. They learn to lie. They learn that to survive, you have to be a liar. They learn that to survive, you have to cover yourself with chametz. The question that Agada says, Kan HaBen Shal, the child asks, it's the question, those questions that children ask, but adults no longer ask. Who am I? Who is he? What's the tafas of my life? That somehow, because of those and less extreme situations that have occurred over the years, we become big chachamim, we become chachamim, and we settled into a life of chametz, which also includes the yachatz that we spoke about last week, the tzibrochen kite, we become broken. Because we're living a life that's not true. We're living a life where there is a terrible, terrible conflict between the little boy or the little girl inside and the adult. And in that state of brokenness, of yachatz, with a bigger part of who I am hidden someplace and in a place I don't even know where it is, we stop asking questions. Now let's talk about these questions. And I'm davka trying not to make it complicated. I'm trying to be very simple. We shouldn't start. I don't want to get lost in all kinds of svar makdoshim. To say pashut, very pashut. The questions in the Haggadah are unbelievable questions. Chametz amatzah, shayir yirakos, mor. Yoshin ben Yoshin ben Masubin. during the year you sit a little bit like this, you sit like that. Mabilin, ain't a mabilin, feel upon my chasab, and those are questions you don't dip tonight, but dip in there. And much has been written about these questions. But I want to talk mamish like a little kid, to understand what it means. Mamish tana halaylas, mikol halaylas, tatalaydin, everybody says, dear father to the Baruch Shalom, I want to ask you some questions about this night. The Laylas, this farm, of course, tell us, and we see from the Drosha and the Haggadah, the Laylas means life in this world, which is compared to the night. And it's mamish, a night, it's the night, we're not talking about being in Gullus in Spain, or being in Gullus in Egypt, or being in Gullus away from your house. We're talking about the Gullus being away from the child. The adult being separated from the child. It's a very long night. And the night means that I don't see. And I don't understand. Because in this night of my life, there are so many contradictions. On the one hand, Balayla Hazeh, in this night of my life, there are signs of freedom. There are signs of being an independent, free person. There's signs of being in touch with myself. There's signs of matzah. Chametz u'matzah. And there are days in my life when I have a feeling of clarity and I'm mesubim and I'm leaning over like a free person. And I'm dipping like a royal person, because a person who is in touch with the eye and who's out of galus. There are signs of myself that I've taken note of over the course of my life. I see that there are opportunities to be free, and that there are moments of being free. But Rabbi Shalom, Tatalev, dear Father, I want to say to you, there's so much maror in my life, there's so much bitterness. It's true, there are other days, there are other moments that are called Shai Yerakis, that are good and that are clear and that are filled with happiness. And I'm a little bit like a little boy again or a little girl, without all the daigis, without all the kfirs, without all the forgeries. But then it seems like a minute later, during this night, it seems that a minute later I'm going through unbearable maror, merirus, bitterness and pain. Takalevim, dear Father, the matzah means the bread of being free, like we've been learning from Maharal. It is what it is. It's not phony, it's real. It's not chametzdik. It hasn't risen. It has no delusions of something other than what it is. That's what the matzah is. The matzah is mamish what it is. So matzah on the one hand is good, it's lachamayin, it reminds us of redemption, of leaving Egypt. On the other hand, we say this is the bread of poverty that our ancestors ate when they were what? When they were stuck in Egypt, when they were slaves. The Laila Hazeh, this night, about these nights of my life, I'm so confused because I feel sometimes that I'm free, but most of the time I feel that I'm not. Chametz u'matzah, ben yoshim ben mesubim, shor yirakos and maror, all the contradictions of my life. And Tatalev, and dear Father, these contradictions of my life, the turmoil of my life as I live through these nights of galus, of my own galus, have finally forced me to ask some real questions. Manishtan. Now you remember at the very beginning, when we began to discuss these inyanim, when we were talking about also about kayachari'iyah, seeing, we know from the Sfarim HaKadoshim that the word ma, memhei, 45, is the gematria of Adam. Man. Adam is the Gematria Mem Hei. And the Sfarim tell us that there are many reasons why the Gematria of Adam, of man, is Mem Hei, is Ma. What? One of the Mahalchim in the Sfarim is that the greatness of man lies in his ability to ask, to wonder about his life, to be a child. An animal doesn't have such a koyach. The animal, as we learn, the word behema, as the Maral tells us, is what? Ba, ma. It is what it is. It can't ask questions. It can't ask questions. Like we spoke about last year, it's not like some animal is standing there. You know, like I give the example many times, and I remember as a kid when I lived in Eretz Yisrael watching, we were driving, I remember for the first time when I saw a Bedouin going with like 1,000 sheep, and they were all walking there, and I remember how it bothered me, like how they didn't, like one didn't like look at the other and say, why don't we make a run for it? What is this, what, to be crazy? Let's get out of here. And there's one guy walking over there, and he gives a scream, and he gives a clap or something, and they're all walking over there. Not one said, I'm tired of living this way. I'm going on the road. I'm starting a show of my own. I can't live like this with this guy anymore. Never happens. Never happens. Maybe in cartoons, but in real life, it's not like a fish is thinking like what it must be like on the land, or that some or a monkey thinks, you know, I'd really like to live in the city or something. All the cartoons and all the children's things are about that, on that theme, and there's a reason for that. That's a pleading thing, so I spoke about in the past, not for now. But the chiddush of Adam, the greatness of man, is that he can consider his life. Ma, he could ask, what is this? What is this? Ma nishtana. He could talk about the inconsistencies. He could talk about his inner turmoil. He could talk about the conflict that he's struggling with during the nights. Ma'anu, ma'chayenu, ma'chazdeinu. That question we ask every morning in the evening, ma'anu. Ma'anu, ma'chayenu. Who are we? What's my life? Machasdeinu. Magrasainu. Manoim alafanacha. Ma, 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 ma. That's the Adam. That's the greatness of a person. You remember we spoke about last year that the tachlis is to move from that question of ma to get to the higher level of thinking about not just my life, but thinking not just about things, what is, but ask the question, me, right? Me. Me bara ela. Who is the creator? Who is the creator? Who are my parents? Who is my wife? Who is my husband? Who is my child? But the highest question is me bara ela. Only at the end of the Haggadah can you get to that echad, mi yadeya. The little child can ask, shnayim, mi yadeya. The adult says, the adult doesn't bother with that. That's silly. Shneilu chasapish, shlei shavus, abi mas. In my house, I make a very big deal with that part. I told you last week. Because a lot of times you go, it's the end of the seder, and everybody says, shlei shasrei midia, shneimus hashivtayus, and blah, 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 blah. Echad, echad, b'shmamas. It's the most chashiv part. That's when we're really holding by that point of being, again, a little boy and a little girl. So you could actually honestly ask, Echad miyadeh, Shnayim, Shnei luchas agriz. Like a little kid that comes home with the two luchas. Not like the old chacham that comes, luchas, what's luchas? And he comes with 25 kashas, how the luchas written like this, luchas written like that. And there's like, you could be like, no, just like a child. Shnei luchas agriz. Shloisha agriz. Oh, Shlosh Avos, did you remember there's a Chassam Sofer, there's a Malbim Vilna last week, there's this, there's that, there's a Klei Chemda. Oh, you remember the Vart you have, there's a from the Vilna Goyim, there's a this, there's a Meshachach, no. Shlosh Avos, Unzucha Avos, Tatas, Mamas, Abi, Imos, my fathers, my mothers. That's how children feel. Echa Miyadeya. Shlosh Miyadeya. Shishas Rimishna. Shivi Meg. Everything is a child's question. Yechad Gad, the Zaben Abba betray Zuzay. And the biggest question that a person is left with, the question of, am I going to have to wait, Tata Leib, dear father, am I going to have to wait till after I die, till 120? Am I going to have to wait till 120 to be able to have only matzah, to taste, to be able to taste really the pnimiyas? But that my life during these laylas is going to be filled with mara, it's constantly falling back into the mara. And even if there's a lot of mara in life, Rabbi Shalom, will you help me? Is it possible for me to have something, a little bit something, of that little boy, that little girl, of that freedom? But not just mara. And here, Rabbi Yisai, we've come to the shayrish of galus. And this is a very, very big inyan. It's the shoyrish mamash of galus, of the galus of the self. Where does it come from? And again, I'm purposely saying without weighing it down in chazals and svarim, so it should be pashit, pashit mamash. You remember a long time ago, at the beginning, in Gan Eden, when we were in Gan Eden, when we were in Adam and Chava, a long time ago, in that place in Gan Eden, Adam, man, us, in Adam, lived with the Kaddish Baruch. Not with the concept of God, you follow? We didn't live with the concept of God in Gan Eden. We lived with God. Now we might be davening to the concept of God, or hearing shiurim on the concept of God. In Gan Eden we lived mamish with God. Simple. We heard mamish from God. In Adam we heard Hashem's Baruch. Not that we heard about Him, or we heard somebody quoting Him, but we heard Hashem's Baruch mamish. In Gan Eden, there were no clothing. But not what it means now, disgusting and ugly. In Gan Eden, it meant that there's nothing forged. There's nothing that's not me. There's nothing that's counterfeit. There was no begodim. You know that the word begodim is the word begida, which means deceit. It means to be a boygeg, means to be a traitor. It means to be unfaithful. Begida means, a beggar means unfaithfulness. In Gan Eden, the nakedness of Gan Eden was not what we thought it's now. It's now, of course, has to be covered. But the nakedness of Gan Eden meant complete and absolute self. No ziyufim, nothing phony, nothing forged, nothing that wasn't me. Without any cheshbonus of what do they think of me. That's why now, how a person dresses creates the biggest question of what do people think of me. The most thoughts and the most money is spent on dressing oneself up, which includes the hair and other things, but dressing oneself up in order to forge myself. In order to forge myself. So after Sheva Brachas, the chassan comes into the house and he sees somebody in the house, and he says, "Oh, I'm sorry. My wife is here." So she says, "Yeah, auntie, it's me. That's me." So the first one is the Sheva Brachas. She washed off her makeup, right? She says, "Yeah, auntie, it's me." He says, "Uh oh. This is the day of reckoning." And ever since then it's been downhill. The day of reckoning, when she wasn't dressed up, when she wasn't made up. All the words are words of ziyuf, of forging. Clothing and makeup, and all of these things are ways of presenting ourselves to the world so that people will think a certain way about us. A big chachma. Big chachma. Children don't need makeup, they're beautiful. We're not embarrassed if a little one goes around without clothing. Everybody says, that's so cute. But when you're 25 years old and you walk around like that, it's almost like, when you get dressed. Right? But for a little child, nobody says that. Little child, nobody says that. Because the child is nothing phony. And in that original way that it was, with God, with ourselves, there was no need for clothing. There was no need for any presentation. How to present myself to the world. How to show myself to other people so they would think a certain way of me. There was no such need. Well, things got bad over there. Something went wrong. We're not talking about the particular Indian, but things got bad. And as a result of that, there was a great chorban over there. And Adam and Chava and us were forced to leave in Eden. What happened? Listen, very simple. There is this tremendous need inside each and every one of us. And it comes also from that child. There is a need to grow up. And growing up means I don't want what I was given by others. I don't want to hear a voice outside of myself. There is in man, there is a shayrish that pushes him, that drives him to be separated from the source of his life, to find himself. And he thinks he's going to find himself by getting further and further and further away from Gan Eden, by getting further and further and further away from the voice of God, by getting further and further away from the inner voice of himself. That's what it turns out. So he grabs the fruit from the tree. And in doing so, he's saying, I don't want the tree anymore, I want the fruit, which we spoke of many times. The tam ha'etz and the tam ha'pri, the etz, the tree means where I come from. But I want to be myself. I want to be like God. I want to be myself. I want to be a creator myself. I don't want to hear anybody or listen to anybody. The meaning of the Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life, is to live being constantly connected to where you came from. That's the tree of life. The meaning of the Eitz HaDa'as, the tree of knowledge, is the tree of the Chacham, of knowledge, of the adult. The tree of knowledge means the desire to go someplace else and to believe that by going away from my source of life, I'll find happiness, I'll find something. So begin to go out into the world outside the gates of Gan Eden, and we start to go to different schools and universities, and we listen to a million voices, beginning with the voice of the snake. And the main thing is that the person does not want to depend on anybody. In Gan Eden, I had to depend upon God. And I have to listen to what God told me. I don't want to be dependent. I want to be independent. I don't want to have to depend on anybody. You know, the Zohar Kodesh says that both of the trees, the Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDa'as Tov V'Ra, grow from one root, deep, deep down. Just it looks like they're two different trees. But the root of the two trees was the same root. Because Saif Ha'adam, the tachlis of a person in this world, is to live a life of holiness, of being dependent upon the master of the world, of being attached to your parents, of being attached to the shorish of where you come from, and at the same time, living your life, achiyus, and being yourself, and being able to be that child that is pure and innocent and naive and honest and real. Both trees grow from the same root. Not two different places. They both come from the same exact root. The tam ha'etz is ketam ha'pri. The fruit and the tree have the same taste. That's the answer. The fruit and the taste is man sim chasein. The time of Sukkot is the time of our greatest joy, because then the adult and the little child come together. That's Matzim Chasein. That's the time of Esrog. But the Esrog is the time of Esrog, the time of Pri. The tree and the fruit have the same taste. That means that I could taste, we'll talk more about this in the coming weeks, I could taste in the life, in my life of depending on God and being connected to the root of my life, my parents, I could taste the sweetness of being myself, of being independent at the same time. Tam ha'es, tam ha'pri. One cannot have that completely in this world. When Mashiach comes, it will be again, but in this world, we're living through a world of galus, of leilos. You can't have that completely. Therefore, the geirish, what did the expulsion from Gan Eden mean? What's the expulsion from Gan Eden? What did it mean when we left? It's been a long mahalach from the time that we left. It's already been a long time. And it's been very painful. And each and every one of us has felt and feels terribly lonely. And the loneliness comes from what I was talking about last time during the week. I don't remember when I spoke about this, but this past week, I just remember it was last night's Shabbos during the week. Be'etzev Taldi, oh no, it was at the Chabur maybe, yeah. A Friday morning, Erev Shabbos, huh? Be'etzev Taldi morning, right? On Erev Shabbos I spoke about it. When we left Gan Eden, the curse of leaving Gan Eden was that you're going to have children. You'll have children, but it's going to be with a lot of pain. It's going to hurt to have kids, right? Be'etzev Taldi morning. And I explained Erev Shabbos that curse of Be'etzev Taldi morning, that you're going to have labor pains. It's going to hurt to have kids, which doesn't mean just having them, it means raising them and everything. It's going to hurt. The meaning of that pain is that there are children inside each and every one of us. I'm not talking about kids. That also hurts. But inside each and every one of us, there are certain feelings. There's ahava, there's love, there's simcha, there's joy, there's emunah, there's creativity, there's all kinds of kaychas that we have. Those are called our children. And the Torah is telling us, Be'etzev Tal Dibonim, from the day that we left Gan Eden, giving birth to that inner self is going to hurt. Giving birth to the deepest part of ourselves, to the Ahava, to the Simcha, to the Amunah, all of those things is going to be with tremendous pain. It's going to be very, very hard. There's going to be a lot of broken matzahs in Golos. And that begins at the very beginning of life. Because at the beginning of life, this could take an extra, just a few moments. At the beginning of life, each and every one of us, no matter how put together you are now, or at least how put together you make yourself up to look like, each and every one of our lives began with a horribly traumatic experience. And to one degree or another, and I'm not talking about psychology, I'm talking about the pnimius of Torah, and what I'm saying, even though I'm not saying from the Svarim right now the names or the words, it's all from the Svarim HaKadoshim, from Pnimius of Kisari, the separation from one's mother. That nituk inside the mother was like being in Gan Eden. I was able to hear God. I was in the source of my existence. I was myself, undressed, real, who I was. Knowing this is my neshama. Everything was clear, everything was beautiful inside mommy. And those two questions that I spoke about last year, that's what it means, ma and me. That's mommy. The question of ma neshama and mi bar ha'ela. It's ma, me. Inside the mother's womb. There was that unbelievable experience of Gan Eden. And what happens? We're born. And in the beginning it's still gewaldic. In the beginning it's still gewaldic. And you're happy being with mommy. Mommy, mommy, mommy. Everything is mommy. Mommy goes away. Mommy. In the middle of the night. Mommy. Everything is mommy. In the beginning, when you're still so connected to Gan Eden, you know clearly that this is the source of my life. But then at some point, I'll use the thing with boys, because I'm more familiar with that. At some point, like, you begin to feel very embarrassed when your mother kisses you in front of other people, right? And your mother starts to feel like this is a goofy thing. My mother is making me uncomfortable. and all of the affection and warmth and hugs. Back off, Ma. Now take it easy, Ma. You know, I'm growing up. You can't treat me like that. And your father says, I want you to come home. You're saying, no, I'll be home when I want to come home. And even if you don't say the words, and if you have moder cheretz, the child begins to feel unsatisfied with Gan Eden, with mommy. And he wants to find himself. And he begins to do things that are the opposite of what mommy and daddy want. The opposite. Someone told me now that if you wanted to have, the best thing you could have done to have a kid that's a Ben Torah to say when he was small, I don't want you to be a Ben Torah. Because you look around, you see like thousands of kids that the last thing their parents want, they should be Bnei Torah, and they're the biggest Bnei Torah. And the ones that the parents are crying and davening and knocking their head on the kaisel, they're what? They should be a Ben Torah, and you're trying to get them to put on tefillin. Hashem Yirachem. So the kid begins to feel, I want to find my own Dalai Lama. You know, I need my space. 7 years old, he's thinking about getting an apartment. Things are getting crazy these days. I want my own dharamas. I have to get away from this. So he begins to imagine, again, I need like another 10 minutes of this. I'm sorry, I know it's late, but I can't start in the middle of just another 5-10 minutes. And he begins to imagine that he doesn't need his mother anymore. Doesn't need his mother. Ech dafnish. And you think like you're doing your taiva. How you doing, Ma? You call her up, I'm a nice guy. You come to visit her a little bit. I'm doing her a tire. I don't really need her. I'm a pre. I don't need my ace. The ace doesn't taste good. It's just a pre. You don't want to have a shaykh. I mean, shaykhs, you have a shaykh. Of course you want a shaykh. So what happens? As you move further and further away, and you feel like I'm so detached, I'm so independent, I'm so my own, you look at yourself, after something bad happened, you say, I'm so miserable. And there you are in your own pad, you know, like on the west side of Manhattan somewhere, and you're looking in the mirror, and you start to cry, and you say, Mommy. And you just want to hear that voice of your mother. You want to just be able to, you wish you could just climb back into bed with her like when you're a baby, and you could smell her breath, and you could hear her telling you, Sheifel, it's good, don't worry, Mommy loves you, everything's okay. So we're caught up in the laylos, in the evening, in the nighttime of Golus, of this horrible conflict. So I run back to Mommy because I was in pain. And when I'm in pain, because I thought I was a big knocker in the world outside of Gan Eden, I found myself, but I see that I'm bankrupt, and somebody's on to the forgery and on to the counterfeit, and they say, yeah, and somebody told you, oh, if we gave you Mr. Baruch, 99% of the time it's true. And then you want to go back to Mommy. So you go back a little bit to Mommy, and you spend a little time. And if you can't go back, if God forbid there is no mother anymore, or you can't go back, then at least in your mind, in your heart, you go back to Mommy. And you go back to the Rebbein Shalom, to Mama, to Melech Malchei Hamlochim. And you say, ah, it's so good to be home. It's so good to be back with my mother, with my father. The Rebbein Shalom is so good to be back, and you get into it again. And that's a little bit, and then you start to get Meshiva again. And you say, I got to get out of here. I'm suffocating, I'm getting crushed by my mommy and daddy again. I can't take it, I gotta get out. It's too much over here. So you run out of the house again, and you start looking for the Afikoman away from the house, and you don't know that the bigger part of the Afikoman is back at home. The biggest part of who you are is with mommy and daddy, and the Rebbein Shalom. That's the biggest part of you, the big part of the matzah. But a klal that in this world everybody is a broken piece of matzah. A klal. Everybody is a broken matzah. This Rabbi Yisai is the, it really, I need, there's much more time, we can talk more, but this is the lahat hacherev ha-misapeches, the revolving sword. You remember when we left Gan Eden and the angel was standing there, and there's this revolving sword, the lahat, fiery sword, hacherev ha-misapeches. Mitzad echad, on the one hand, I feel that in order to discover myself, in order to find myself and be independent, I have to run away from Mommy. I have to run away from God. I have to run away from the shores of my existence to find myself. On On the other hand, I'm miserable over there. I'm unhappy over there. I feel that I'm detached from myself. And then I have to run back. I'm trying to climb back over the fence to get back into Gan Eden and be back with Mommy and Daddy and back with Hashem. All the contradictions, these are the contradictions. It all boils down to this one thing. I'm wandering through the laylos, through the night times of this world. What I'm looking for is myself. Since I'm a young person, I'm saying individualism, myself. Leave me alone, Mommy. Leave me alone, Daddy. Leave me alone, Rabbi Shalom. Leave me alone, Torah. Leave me alone, Rabbi. Leave me alone. And when I finally am able to go to that place and to get to that place, and I think now I'm going to find myself. Now I'm an adult and I'm chalushing to be a child again. And I'm chalushing to be once again in that world and to throw myself into the arms of my Rabbi Shalom, of my parents, of my Rebbe. And I'm looking for, at the same time, I'm looking for what? I'm looking to be a child and I want to be an adult. I'm looking for the emotions and the warmth of a child. And I'm looking for the intellect and the intelligence and sophistication of being a grown up. I'm looking for the tamimus and the innocence of a child, and I'm looking for the shrewdness and the cleverness of a businessman, of a successful person on Madison Avenue, and I'm going out of my mind with these contradictions, running away, running back. That's what it means to be called Alaylus. Man, this stan, I can't take it anymore. So what do people usually do? What people usually do is they make a choice. And this is horrible. What happens to people, you'll have a certain person that makes a choice, since I can't bear life outside of Gan Eden, of my independence, I can't take it. So the person at some point makes a choice to be dependent. What does that mean? It means there are some people that they just don't want to move on and get married. They don't want to leave their parents. I can't. There are a thousand reasons and explanations of chulu. The bottom line is, I'm afraid. I'm not saying all situations. There are situations where a person is trying, but they can't. But I'm talking about the person who's afraid. I'm afraid to leave Gan Eden, because I'm afraid not to be a child. So there are people that spend their entire lives dependent upon their mother. Then yet sometimes a person's married, and when he's married, he depends on his wife. Or the wife depends on the husband, everything is this. Or somebody is at work, and they don't really make it at work to be something chashev. They're always depending on the boss and somebody else telling them, do this, do that. But all of these things share in common, or to attach themselves to some charismatic leader, or to lose himself by some guru, or to lose himself by a rebbe or something. But the ikkah is not to make my own choices. I can't stand that. It's too scary. I just want to be, like a little boy. A little boy, a little girl. So when I was little, it was my mommy. Now it's my rabbi, and now it's my boys, and now it's something else. But it's, the bottom line is, I'm afraid to walk out of Gan Eden. I'm afraid to leave. That's one extreme. A total loss of independence, a complete surrendering of the self, a total loss of independence. I am completely dependent on everybody else. And in doing so, the person can never find happiness. Because when he's dancing at a chasana, we go back to that Shmuz 2 weeks ago, when he's at a chasana, it's not his chasana. It's not his chasana. It's somebody else's chasana. And he's in that loss, that world of that forgery, of that counterfeit life. He just does what other people like. So he'll act. He'll be like that animal, a chameleon? Is that how you say it? He just adapts to any situation that he's in. When he's in a certain place, he'll act like the people want him to act in that place, because he's depending on their approval. He depends on their validating his existence, because he's not independent. His Gan Eden means that other people say, you're a good boy. Yeah, yeah. Yingle, mamala, oh, get to Ashena. He wants his mommy and daddy, whoever is the mommy or daddy at that time in his life, to approve of him. So he goes around his whole life being a covet schnorrer, right? Like we spoke about, an approval schnorrer. He desperately is in need. He has to be part of a pack of friends. And he can't stand up to the friends. And if a friend wants something and it's not what he wants, he gives in to the friends and he'll act like the friends. Yes, 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 yes. As long as they approve of me, he'll dress. He'll go, God will do averis. She'll go and make herself into a shmata, so that some hungry bacha, some hungry young man should say, oh yes, she should think that he likes her. Make herself into a shmata. She'll make herself, God forbid, into a shmata. The what? Because this way she feels that she's loved. She's loved. Somebody loves her. Somebody likes her. Somebody approves of her. They enjoy her. There's no end to these dibur. We understand how much there is to say. The other extreme. The other extreme, you have a person that cannot be intimate with anybody. You know why? Because he absolutely refuses to be a child. All he wants to be, he's only the independent self-made man. He doesn't need anybody. Therefore, he can't say, I love you. He can't dare to say it. Because he's afraid that he makes himself too vulnerable and that he's going to get swallowed up by a new mommy or a new daddy. So he's afraid to be intimate. He's afraid to have close friends. He's afraid with the Baruch Shalom to let himself go with a niggin, with a reed that he can't let go. Because he's afraid always that he's going to get swallowed up. And he's going to lose his independence. And he's going to be back, the fruit is going to be back on the tree. He can't take the thought of being back on the tree. He's afraid that God is going to swallow him. Mommy's going to swallow him up. Daddy's going to swallow him up. And he'll never be able to get out of Gan Eden. He'll be stuck forever. So these kind of people, they can never, ever, ever get close on a deep level to other people. No. They're always afraid of letting go. They can never be. And they also can never have menuchas and nefesh. Never. Never. There's always something holding back. They can never have menuchas and nefesh. Bein kach u bein kach. Either of these extremes can never have menuchas and nefesh. Can never have a deep simchas achayim. You either refuse to leave Gan Eden or refuse to go back to Gan Eden. Either of those individuals, you're either attached to the tree or you're completely detached. But the Baruch Shalom wants that we should be able to move backward and forth. That we should be able to be attached to the tree and still feel our independence and our own kaychus streaming through our lives. Which we'll talk much more about over the coming weeks. And these are the questions, and they're all contained in the words Man Nishtana. It must be that the beginning of God's answers in the words Avadam Hayim, right? Avadam Hayim L'Parav Mitzrayim. Mezah Hashem, after Pesach we'll continue talking about this Inyan, even though it's going to still be Pesach, but we'll talk about the Inyan.